These are two big events in my life that happened because I asked, what if? What if, you know, resources, timing, schedule, all these other things were not an issue? Could I do this thing that is like in my heart? Is what I really was subconsciously wanting to bring forward. Hi, and welcome back to Curiously Wise, Practical Spirituality in Action. I am Lauren Wittig, your host. And today I want to talk about something magical that has certainly helped me, and I've seen helped others, break through some limiting beliefs to create abundance in different ways. Abundance can be described in many ways. For me, one of the stories I'm going to share with you today is about what launched my writing career. And another is how I came to live in this house that I'm in now and have been in for 24 years now. Both were sparked by this question. So let's start with, first of all, this idea that we all carry limiting beliefs within us. We have beliefs that were handed down to us, perhaps from our family, from our religious community, from schools, from media. There's all of these beliefs that we carry with us that often are not truly our own. We have assimilated them, if you will, from those around us. And because so often they come from trusted sources, parents, grandparents, teachers, you know, other leaders, other, you know, beloved family members. And the beliefs came for them because of something that happened in their life, or it was passed from their family, and it gets passed on, and essentially it doesn't get questioned. We just accept it. So these limiting beliefs really hold us back from things. There are limiting beliefs about who we are or who we can be. There are limiting beliefs about the work we can do. There's limiting beliefs about, you know, how much traveling we can do, for example. There's limiting beliefs around all kinds of things. I have a limiting belief that I'm working on that I can't run very well and I can't run very far. And I want to change that. And so I'm going to be using this question for me because I've identified that as a limiting belief. I'm not going to take you through that now because I got to work through it myself first. But these are the kinds of things that we carry with us. I've never been athletic. I can dance, but I can't run. And honestly, I used to have exercise-induced asthma. So there was some truth behind that belief, but that's no longer the truth. And so I need to get rid of that old belief because it's no longer based in reality and in my truth. And so limiting beliefs are something we all carry with us. We pick them up and we let them go. And sometimes we don't even know why we have them. And we don't think to question them because honestly, most of the time they're kind of subconscious. They may not even be something you're aware of that is directing you and controlling your willingness or your ability to open the gates, to open up the possibilities to something better, something new, something different, something that you choose to believe because you have some evidence in your life for that belief being true for you. So that's sort of setting the stage. I before I became the person I am now, I was a novelist and I wrote historical romance novels. But at first I wouldn't allow myself the ability or even the option of writing a historical novel of any sort because that would take research. And this was back in the early 90s and we didn't have Google. We had the internet. We had, you know, I did work on computers, but it wasn't as robust as it is now. So researching at that point was like an academic thing. You went to a library, you found books, and you that's what you did. And I had not wanted to study history when I was at university because to me it was all old dead white men and wars. That's the history that I had been taught throughout school. And I was much more interested in, you know, like, what about the women? what were the women doing while the men were, you know, out having wars? And you don't find that much. You probably do now, but not when I was coming up. We didn't find that. That wasn't taught to us. And so I had no clue how to write, how to research what a woman's life would be in. Because if you're writing a romance, you got to have a heroine and a hero, right? And I really didn't know how to do that. And it was very intimidating to me. And I, you know, I did well in school, but I don't consider myself an academic. I don't like reading nonfiction. You know, that's the kind of thing. I'd give me a good novel. So I limited myself to learning to write a very specific small area of the romance genre, which is short contemporary novels. So they're about 50,000 words, whereas a historical will be over 100,000 words usually. Not always, but that's sort of, you know, a difference between those kinds of things. And the contemporary, you could always write about what you knew. You know, I could use my own apartment. I could use my own job. I could, you know, those kinds of things. I could very much use my experience because of, I, you know, was writing in the time that I was living in. That's not the way writing historicals works, right? So I limited myself to that because I didn't think I could do research. And at least any research that I'd have to do about like a job or, you know, a city, I could do because I've got maps and I've got people I could talk to who live there or have that job, that kind of thing. So the research was much, much easier for me to wrap my head around. And I did okay with that. I finaled in a couple of unpublished author contests with that manuscript, but it kind of fell apart in the middle. I didn't know how to plot yet. And it just never went anywhere. And my heart wasn't in it. You know, it was more of a, I want to do this so I have the experience of it, so I understand what the whole process is like and where my weaknesses are, which I didn't really think about at the time, but that's what it really showed me, which was awesome because then I knew what to work on. So about the same time as I'm like figuring out what am I going to write next? And I started another contemporary, short contemporary thing. And it is just it's not lighting me up. I'm not being drawn back to it. And about this time, a friend of mine who was also learning to write had started working with this book called The Artist's Way. It's written by a woman named Julia Cameron. And the subtitle is A Spiritual Path to Higher Creativity. And the whole community that I was part of at that point, which was Washington Romance Writers, part of Romance Writers of America, were really buzzing about this book. And so she asked me if I'd like to work through it with her because it's very much a workbook. And so I did. I was game. And I can't remember exactly which chapter it was. I know there was one chapter where you couldn't read anything for a week and I almost died. But it also opened up my ability to see what else was going on around me or what I could be doing. But there was one chapter where the question to work on that week was, what if time, money, and resources and responsibilities were not an issue? What would you do? What would you create? And that was really hard for me at first. It was like, well, but I have, you know, I have two small kids and I'm a stay-at-home mom. So I've got that responsibility. I take care of the house. I got to get grocery shopping done. I'm paying the bills. You know, all of these things, day-to-day things that I saw as ways to keep me from being able to stretch myself beyond what I already had kind of carved out of my day with for writing. But it also then turned out to be very freeing because literally she said, just write, just let whatever comes out, come out. And, it, you know, don't stop to edit. Don't worry about punctuation. Don't worry about spelling. And she had us handwriting, which connects with a very different part of your brain than say typing does. And I still use it to this day when I get stuck and I need to brainstorm something like this episode. I get out pen and paper and I handwrite and it's a way of accessing my inner knowing a little easier and quicker. But she had us do this task. And what happened was I basically in an hour, I had the basics of a historical romance set in medieval Scotland. And that exercise that took probably less than half an hour turned out to be the first book I ever sold. It took me a year to do research because I had to, you know, get books, and I networked with other people who knew people in Scotland and that kind of thing. I had to learn the history at least, but I chose a very specific period. So I knew I only had to learn the history around that and that I needed it to be in the Highlands. And the serendipity was that there wasn't really a written language at the time. It was a non-literate society, the clans in the Highlands. And I had an anthropology degree that had included some archaeology. So I really had to provide, I really had to delve into that part of the research, which was my jam. It wasn't read the history books. It was look at the day-to-day life of people through their artifacts and through the oral traditions of songs and poetry and that kind of thing. And I loved it. And I went on to write 6 novels and 2 novellas based in the same period of time and the same different parts of the Highlands, but the same sort of clan culture. And it was great. I loved it. It was awesome. Then I stopped because I kind of got what went, okay, I've done what I need to do there. What's next? And that's what's led me into this part of my life here, where I'm a healer and I run women's circles and I have a podcast and all these wonderful, fun things that I'm doing now. But the second story I want to share with you where this question came up. My husband and I, we lived in the DC area at the time. His business was in DC. It's a consulting business. So it's very based on the consulting culture of Washington, DC. And so we were kind of tied to the DC area in terms of his work. And we needed a bigger house. And we really wanted to find a public school system that was good. And there were some really good public school system, you know, areas in the DC area, but the housing cost was, you know, also a lot more there because the public school system was so good. And we, for 2 years, we searched for a place where we could afford a house because I wasn't working and afford, you know, either the school to pay for school, which we were already paying $15,000 a year for our kids to be our 5-year-old and our 10-year-old in school, you know, kind of thing. So we were really having trouble balancing this with needing to be within a reasonable commuting distance of downtown DC. And we just couldn't find it. We couldn't find it. And we were kind of at the end of our rope because we were kind of in a sick house. Our son had asthma and we knew that the house, it was, you know, 70 years old at the time. We had done what we could to ameliorate the mold, you know, that had grown in the ancient foundation kind of stuff. And we just couldn't do anything more with it. We needed to move into a you know, more healthy house. We also knew we were in the air pollution path that it took over the city and then out over us. We were in Maryland. And so we needed to get away from that because that also was an asthma trigger. And we were tired of being in traffic all the time. There was one weekend my husband came in from a trip to Lowe's and he said, you know, it's time to move when it takes you an hour to get to Lowe's on a Saturday morning. And so, you know, there was just this sort of increasing pressure on us to figure out how we could move into a place where we would be happier, where we would be healthier, where we would be, you know, not so hemmed in by the city, by the traffic, and still be able for my husband to get to work in a reasonable amount of time and home again. Lots of little different places there where we needed something to happen. Well, we finally got to the point where we went, okay, so we're not finding what we need here. What if we didn't have to be tied to DC? Now, my husband's business was our full income. So this was a big what if, but let's just play what if. I remember we were sitting at a computer looking at things online for, you know, houses and stuff, and we're just both so frustrated. And we had been to Williamsburg, Virginia a few times with the kids as a long weekend getaway. And we really loved it down here. This is where I live now. We loved it because the history was here. There was a college, so there was a lot of cultural stuff going on. The housing was in reasonable range. We could afford it. The public school system was good. And the only thing we couldn't do is the commute would be ridiculous. because it's about a 2.5 hour drive in each direction. So going, you know, to DC every day was now going to be really hard to do. And I wasn't willing to really, you know, have him suffer that much so that we could live in a nicer place. So we brainstormed that. Okay, so what if maybe you only had to be in DC a couple of days a week? Maybe there's a, you know, we have to get a little, you know, apartment somewhere up here where you could come and be here for 2 or 3 days, and I would have to single mom it, which frankly, when you're home 24/7 with your kids, you're single momming it a lot anyway. But, you know, it was this like, could we make that work? Are we willing to make the change in our marriage even happen to facilitate this better lifestyle? And in many ways for my husband, it took some of the pressure off of him to get home at a particular time, you know, because I was at my wit's end by the end of the day. And so it, in some ways, it kind of freed us up to be more flexible and to just sort of change the dynamic of how, you know, we defined how we live together with family. And when we decided to do that, we knew we had to come down here and look around and really see, because we'd only been here as tourists, basically. And so we came down for one weekend, and I had found a place online. It's a gated community, which was not what we were looking for, but it was, you can build in there. They were still building out. So you could build a brand new house that would be healthy for our son and for the rest of us, frankly. And we could, you know, we didn't know if we could make that happen. And we didn't even intend to look at it. And we went and looked at some other neighborhoods, ended up in a neighborhood that we really liked that was next to the one I saw a sign. It's like, that's the place that I saw online. We should go look at it. We're here. Why not just go look at it? So we did. And we bought a lot in about 24 hours. We bought a lot that we could build on. And we began that process of selling our house and moving from the DC area to Williamsburg, Virginia. And everything fell into place, not just for us moving the kids to a new home that had to be built, it didn't exist yet, a new school system, you know, and that whole transition, which required us, we sold our house before it went on the market. We found an apartment where we could live for 6 months until the kids finished the school year. We found a townhome here in the neighborhood we're building in that was in the right school district to move to during the summer so the kids could start school in their new school. We found a builder that was very technological, so they were able to build more quickly than your average one because they were using, you know, computers to schedule everything, and they had, you know, their I don't know, they were able to do it quicker. Not quickly, it's not a quickly process, but quicker. That all happened. And in addition to that, my mom had a little apartment that she used almost as a guest house in the condo that she lived in. And it was just a little furnished efficiency. And she said, you can use that for free. You know, she was supporting us. Because at the time, that was going to be a big problem to have to pay a mortgage and a rent in the DC area. Over the years, my husband found other places to live, and he's now ended up working from home all but one, you know, a couple of days a week, and he just stays in a hotel one night, and it's cheaper than rent. And so it just all fell into place. Everything we needed to make it happen. We had the support we needed from family. We had, you know, just magical events about how everything lined up to make it happen when we needed it to happen. And we've been here now for 24 years. During the pandemic, it was interesting because my husband and I realized we haven't lived together 7 days a week in a long time. So there's been some interesting adjustment there that has been really helpful and useful in sort of us planning for the next phase of our life. But these are two big events in my life that happened because I asked, what if you know, resources, timing, schedule, all these other things were not an issue. Could I do this thing that is like in my heart? Is what I really was subconsciously wanting to bring forward. So my first book and a house that has been a wonderful place to raise our kids in a wonderful, you know, town that's got all kinds of fun stuff going on. And the air is clear and there's lots of nature around us. And just everything got easier once we made this move. And if we hadn't said, what if we don't have to tie ourselves to a reasonable commute to DC, what could we do? And so I offer this today because, first of all, it's been on my mind, obviously, but we're so full of limiting beliefs and we're so full of things that we think we can't do because we don't have the knowledge, the wisdom, the money, the time, whatever. Where if we just say, what if none of that was true? What would happen? Or what could I do? What could I be? Who could I be? And write it down. Then you'll begin to see that you're aware of places where you can do something that's moving you toward that. And I call it the universe bringing you opportunities. You'll meet the right person, or, you know, you'll find the right neighborhood on the internet. It's just, it's a magical word that takes you from limiting beliefs to empowering beliefs. And we need to dream right now, more than I think probably ever in the history of the world. We need to dream what's really going to light us up, what's going to make us happy, what's going to give us joy, what's going to bring more creativity into the world, which is going to overbalance or help to balance out sort of the old paradigm that we're living in that's so harsh and so rigid. And it's going to allow you to flower, you to bloom, you to expand. It's going to allow you to find what lights you up and what really fulfills your heart and maybe your purpose. You know, maybe your purpose. I believe we all have a purpose. I'm not even sure I know what mine is yet, but I know I'm getting closer to it. And so this one question, what if time, money, other resources, responsibilities were not an issue? What would you do or what would you create? I invite you to play with that question and start playing with what if. What if? What if? It's a magical thing to ask. So I hope that this has sparked some interest in you about exploring, first of all, what limiting beliefs are holding you back that are not your beliefs or that are no longer serving you? Because some of those beliefs served a purpose for a while, but you're not the same person you were a decade ago or 2 decades ago or 6 decades ago. And so explore those, you know, where those limiting beliefs might be and play what ifs. What if that belief was not true? What if instead of allowing that to contain me, what if I looked at the alternative that could empower me? So I hope you've gotten something from this. I invite you to share this with anybody else who you think might benefit from it. And I hope you have a wonderful day filled with curiosity. What if is a perfect way to spur your curiosity. So I'm Lauren Wittig, and I'll see you next time on Curiously Wise, Practical Spirituality in Action. In the meantime, stay curious. Thank you so much for joining us today on Curiously Wise. I hope this conversation has left you feeling inspired and curious about the world around and within you. After all, curiosity is the key to growth and understanding. So keep asking questions and exploring new ideas. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing and/or leaving a review. It helps us be found by others. If you're curious to learn more about me or my healing practice, Heart Light Wellness, head over to my website at heartlightjoy.com. Until next time, I'm Lauren Wittig. Stay curious.